All right, so this is how to begin day one of the 3-day fat burn. First of all, it helps if you plan this in advance. When I try to do this and just wake up and start it, for some reason it's as if my mind is not ready for it and it's not as effective. And yes, even though I've practiced these techniques, all of them, for the past 30 years, I'm not always successful every time I want to do this. Most of the time I am, though. And one of the things that you can do to assure that you'll be successful is actually mark it on your calendar when you plan on doing it. So in the past, I've done things like, say, I will do this every Wednesday. And then mentally, I'm prepared for it. Or for the longest, as a college student, I would do this the first day of every month. And I would mark it on the calendar so that I was ready for it. Actually, it wasn't the first day. It would be the first Friday of every month. That's when I would do this. Now, when you plan it, you want to make sure that whatever is going on the day after you start it, so let's say you started on a Friday, you want to make sure the afternoon of the next day, which would be Saturday, it's okay for you to be quiet, because that's when you'll have, during the last part of the first 24 hours, is when you'll be prone to being irritable. You may have some weakness. You may have a mild headache. So it's not the time you want to be interacting with people you love or at work. You may have a little difficulty thinking, because what's going to happen is that's the time when you swap from normal metabolism into ketoacidosis. Now, don't let that scare you. I'll talk about that in a moment. That's actually a good thing. And I'll tell you why it's good for your body and good for your mind in a moment. But just for now, know that when you start this, you should plan on, you mark it on your calendar, or at least make a mental note when you're going to start it. And you want to make it, you don't want to start this when your family's planning on having a major celebration the second day of a 3-day fast, or when you'll be having a challenging day at work or wanting to go interact with your children. This needs to be, the first 24 hours needs to be a time when you can be quiet for the last part of it. And you want to start it in the evening. So you make your evening meal, make it at a normal time, whatever your normal time is. Most people eat, we usually have a late meal because I like to exercise before supper. So my supper time is usually about 8 o'clock, and then I usually go to bed around midnight, or 11 o'clock, something like that. Not every night, but that's sort of my schedule. Whatever your schedule is, probably what will be best is that you make your last meal about 3 hours before you actually plan on going to sleep. You don't want to go to bed hungry. Now, if you start in the morning, because the first 24 hours, this is what you'll do. You'll take in no calories, 0 calories the first 24 hours. But think about it. If you start that in the morning, don't turn me off yet, because don't panic, because I will teach you how to do a 24-hour fast without being hungry. You have very little hungry, and you can still go 24 hours without eating. So how you do this is, let's suppose that you started in the morning and plan on not eating until the next morning. Well, if you skip breakfast and you skip lunch, you're doing pretty well. You'll start to be hungry around supper time, and by the time you go to bed, you'll be uncomfortable, and who wants to go to bed hungry? So that's not good. But if you plan on going 24 hours without eating, and you start at supper time, well, you've had the evening meal, so you're not that hungry at bedtime. You go to sleep. You wake up. Well, a lot of people skip breakfast anyway, so that's not a big deal. And then you wind up skipping lunch, and that's when you start to get hungry, right after lunch. You know, most people, a normal day in America is people wake up, they have very little for breakfast, they grab something for lunch, and then they start to get hungry about the time they come home for supper, and then they overeat. Well, you'll be doing basically what many people are doing already, which is eating not much for breakfast or lunch. The only thing is you'll have no calories during that time and no snacks. Now, this is what will happen. When you have no calories, at a certain point, let's back up a minute. Let's talk about what happens when you have low carb. When you have a low carb diet, like the Atkins diet, what you're doing is really a modified fast. Dr. Atkins did not invent a low carb diet. He just popularized it and pointed out the benefits of it. He was very ingenious, and I have great admiration for him. And only recently has research started to prove much of what he surmised to be true. But he didn't invent the idea of having a low-carb diet. That research has been around for many years. But what it is, it's really a modified protein-sparing fast is what they used to call it. Because if you have nothing to eat, your brain cannot work without sugar. So after you use up all the sugar in your bloodstream and you convert all the sugar that's stored in your liver and in your muscles as glycogen, and now you're out of sugar, well, you're going to die if your brain does not get sugar. And so it has to make sugar from something. That's what fat is for. And when you start to burn fat and convert it into sugar, that is called ketosis or ketoacidosis. Now, that sounds scary because most people know type 1 diabetics, that's how they die. They're in ketoacidosis and they get so acidotic that they die from it. And the reason they do is they have no insulin, so they can't make sugar and they go into ketosis. They can't utilize the sugar. It can't go into the cell. All right, so that's confusing the issue. Back to what ketosis is. It's actually a healthy process, and I think it was meant to take place. It's the process of your body utilizing fat to make sugar and protein. That's the tricky part. It not only converts fat, but it converts protein into sugar. Well, we don't mind the fat going away, but we don't want our muscles to go away. So that's why they invented or thought up the idea of a protein-sparing fast. So if I take all your sugar away and I give you some protein, now you won't convert the protein into sugar. You'll convert the fat into sugar. You won't convert the muscle of your body into sugar. You'll convert the fat of your body into sugar, because you'll be getting all the protein you need. You won't be on a protein fast. Because your body needs amino acids to survive as well. So you won't have to access your muscle to get amino acids and make sugar or to utilize those amino acids to live. You can just take the fat out of your body and make it into sugar. So that's a protein-sparing fast. Now, if you start doing that, so let me pause a minute and make sure you understand what we've said. So Atkins or low carb is just a fast or no calories and allowing to save your muscles by giving you protein and not much in the way of sugar. That's a protein sparing fast. Now, if you just wake up today and you say, I'm going to do an Atkins diet or a low carb diet, if you start doing that, it takes a while. It can take you 2 to 3 days to start getting into ketoacidosis. But if you wake up and you have no calories, it only takes about 12 to 16 hours for you to start going into ketoacidosis or into ketosis. So you get there more quickly and start burning that fat off faster if you go with no calories than if you start off doing low carb. Now, the fasting thing scares people, and some people worry about it making them weak, but it doesn't. It does with extended fasting, but a day or two fasting can be used to make you stronger. So let me stop and address that for a moment before all the strong men and the bodybuilders and the athletes run away. When I was a child, I went to the zoo. And I don't know why this stuck in my mind, but it did. So when I was a child, I went to the zoo with my class, and we walked in the lion exhibit. And I remember the stench was so horrible that back in, this was probably 1968, 69 at the Birmingham Public Zoo. I don't know what the rules were back there with lions, but it sure wasn't in keeping the cage smelling pretty, because it was so strong in there I could barely breathe. And the lion keeper was in the closed-in part of this building. You could see at the back where the lion was allowed to leave the glassed building and go out into some enclosed cage outside. But for the time being, at least, the lion was there in the building with us. And we were staring at this great creature, and I'm looking at the lion through the glass. The lion keeper said, "We do not feed the lion every day. We don't feed the lion on Wednesday, because if we feed him every day, he's not as healthy. So we don't feed him on Wednesdays." And I remember thinking, well, that's interesting, because he's certainly a very strong animal. The idea that he would be weaker and less healthy eating every day intrigued me. And now I understand why, because the same is true of people. It's only been preached for a few thousand years. Every great thinker and every health guru worth their salt, in my opinion, has experimented and found the benefits of fasting. Now, that word has such strong connotations of spirituality and other things that may not appeal to you. But the truth is, it's also a very powerful health practice. And it causes some hormonal changes, boosting your growth hormone levels, doing some things with serotonin and dopamine. So these thinkers of the religions have known about it as a way to facilitate fasting and meditation by experimenting with it. But what happens is there actually becomes a clarity with fasting that's hormonal and explained now by science that they didn't know about when Buddha and Christ and the Hindu thinkers were considering the idea of fasting. So I won't belabor that point, except to say that you may have other benefits from this 3-day fat burn than just becoming healthy that may surprise you. All right, so back to what we're doing here. When you do this, when you do the first day, and this is the only day when you will have 0 calories, if you start on supper, you'll have a normal, healthy supper. I recommend that you have some vegetables, whatever protein, whether you're vegetarian or whether you have meat, but you have a nice, normal-sized meal. You don't try to have more than normal, but you eat until you're full and you stop. You go to bed. Now, during this 24 hours, you can have anything that you would normally have without calories. And during this time, you're going to swap over to ketosis around noon of the next day, or around 16 hours or so after you have your last meal. And that's when you will have some irritability and weakness. So you plan on having the afternoon to sort of chill out, even take a nap. And if you have a headache, you can have Tylenol or Advils or whatever you have. Try to have your normal amount of caffeine. So if you're used to drinking 3 cups of coffee a day, then have 3 cups of coffee a day. You can even have a little more than normal if you want, but nothing to sweeten your caffeine source that has calories. So if you're used to having a creamer with a lot of calories in it, I'm sorry, you just have to do without. But we're just going to do this for 24 hours. Now, another thing that I like to do is, no matter what I'm doing, what type of diet I'm on, I think some of the successful diets are diets that allow you as much as you want of something. So whatever's allowed, if you're restricting how much you have of it, it becomes much more unpleasant. So even though you know you can have calories, what you can have with things without calories, you can have as much as you want. It sounds like deal, but what I usually do is I go to the store and buy really nice mineral waters and sparkling waters and flavored sparkling waters and herbal teas, so that when I have a coffee grinder and organic coffees, so I splurge. I mean, let's face it, it's not going to be an expensive day. You're not eating food. So treat yourself to some really nice water and teas and enjoy what you are allowed to have as much as you want. During this time, during that afternoon, is really a good time to be alone, if at all possible. You're not going to want to be very talkative. You may be irritable. That's when you want to not be around people that are important to you. It's a good time to read, and it's also a good time to read about fasting or spirituality or something philosophical. Your mind will change to a different sort of mentality during this time, and the transition is interesting. Take notes on yourself about what's going on and notice what makes this easier or hard for you. I am a big fan of that classic on fasting called The Miracle of Fasting by Paul Bragg. It inspired Jack LaLanne. That's how long it's been around. And it inspired me. So highly recommend that book. And it's a good thing to read when you're in the process of fasting because it motivates you. It's very simply written and very easily skimmed through as you're doing a fast. But remember the lion as well, and know that a 24-hour fast is going to boost your growth hormone levels so that you will maintain your strength. You'll just have a lower body weight. Now, another thing to remember while you're doing this is back to the lion. I call this a metabolic exercise. You're exercising enzymes that you will not use unless you go without calories. You're not going to use these enzymes that allow you, these metabolic pathways that allow you to go into ketosis. But in the process of doing this and of swapping into ketosis, you will go from feeling hungry to feeling not hungry. So think about that for a moment. Most people have felt it, but perhaps not. Maybe that's an exaggeration because I've taught this to many adults who have never gone 24 hours with no calories. But what you will find is it's backwards. You go from being not hungry because you just ate to being a little hungry to being a lot hungry. And then without eating, with just more time, you go back to being not hungry. So that is when you are in ketosis. But during the process, let me warn you, there is a process during which your brain does something really unusual. And I fasted for 20 years before I ever really recognized what was happening. And listen very carefully to this because it also explains why you binge eat at night sometimes. Right before, and this is from the Charles Doctor book. It's based on science, but I'm giving you my opinion now. Everything in this course is based on science and proven fact, almost. But the tiny little bits I'll tell you will be based on fact, but this is just, but the nitty-gritty of it is my opinion, and this is one of those opinions. I think what happens is that as you start to swap into ketosis, there's a part of your brain that says, wait a minute, we're starving. Because we're going to have to start accessing fat to survive. And when that happens, I think your brain goes through a mild panic stage. And even though logically you realize that you're not starving, on another level of your brain, on the more primitive level of your brain, you think that you're about to starve and your survival is being threatened. And that's when you want to go eat uncontrollably. So just being aware of that has allowed me to just knowing that mild, almost panic it comes across not as panic. It comes across as this uncontrollable urge to go eat. But if you're aware of it, that it's going to happen, and I'll tell you some ways to deal with it in a minute. If you know that it's coming, you'll deal with it and you'll say, oh, that's what Dr. Reynolds told me, that I'm supposed to feel like this. I'm not really dying. My brain just thinks I'm dying. And this is what I'm going to do. So here's what you do when you have that feeling. During that window from around noon to supper, when you get the feeling, first of all, know that it will pass. And when you get to the other side of it in full ketosis, you will have no hunger, zero hunger. That's where we're headed. The other thing you can, other than knowing about it, here's how you can actually shut the hunger off. You can drink something, and that activates the stretch receptors in your stomach. You're starting to utilize, in the process of utilizing fat for energy, you use up water. So there is a degree of mild dehydration, more than you actually perceive. So as you drink more water, and remember I told you to get some really nice mineral waters. I have an ionizer that I will advertise on my website that you can see and buy that or something similar. You can drink your herbal teas, those sorts of things that fill up your stomach. Another thing that Paul Bragg talked about when I first read his book, we talked about it before that, but when I first read his book 30 years ago, but I finally tried him out on it a few years ago and found it's true. But a little bit of apple cider vinegar really takes your hunger down tremendously. There's something about the acid and that flavor, and it needs to be a good organic, unfiltered apple cider vinegar. And just a teaspoon of that just almost shuts your hunger off completely. And the last thing is going for a walk. When you walk, we know of at least two hormones that you make that kill your appetite while you're walking and for at least 30 minutes afterwards. When you lift weights or ride a bicycle, your appetite goes down during the session, but very soon, much sooner afterwards, your appetite returns and you can even have more appetite. So, you know, I've done triathlons and marathons and I've lifted weights without doing any running. But when I did bike races, you would see people eating huge amounts of food on the brakes and carrying them on their bike. But when I did marathons, during the breaks, people would get a slice of orange or something. You didn't want to eat food. So there's something about walking and running that kills your appetite. So if you wanted to do all those at the same time, you get up, you have something to drink, and even drink it while you go for a walk. You're not going to feel like going or run, but you're not going to feel like going as fast as you normally would. That's okay. Just move, and it will kill your appetite. Walk more than once if you want during that time. And then another technique that I got this from Favio. They were interviewing him about how he stayed in great shape. And he said that when he was hungry, that he would go brush his teeth. That's a good thing to do. Just go, even though you haven't eaten anything, just brush and floss and mouthwash and all that. And just make your mouth as clean as you can make it. And then something about that makes you want to not put food in there for a while. So that's how you deal. And then you can lie down. You may feel like you need a nap. But so all of those techniques together. Just get through to the other side. Now, when supper time gets there, it should be exactly 24 hours since you last ate. Try not to fudge and just go 18 hours or 19 or 20. Try to make it the full 24. So if you began supper at 6 o'clock the night before, then start day 2 at 6 o'clock at the end of this 24-hour period. One other thing about this first day, during that afternoon, that's a wonderful time to schedule a massage. I don't usually do that. I usually prefer to be alone. But if you have access to that, and you can do it in such a way that you're not in some spa where they're going to be bringing you wine and junk food, if you can do it in a controlled environment, then for by all means, that is a good time to have a massage, a light steam bath, or a sauna. But you want to make sure, just keep in mind that you're be going into a dehydrated state. So if you have one of these heat therapies, have plenty of water to drink. Be careful that you don't get lightheaded. So what about medical problems? How do you do this if you're a type 1 diabetic? You don't. You just don't. This is not what you do. There's a whole way of handling your weight loss if you're type 1 diabetic or juvenile onset. And there is a way to do something similar, but I would need you under constant supervision. For a type 2 diabetic, you have adult onset. Even if you use insulin, but you're type 2, where your body frequently makes insulin more than the average person. But anyway, adult onset, type 2 diabetic. What I usually do is have people either cut their medicines in half or stop them completely during this 24 hours. But again, this is a time when you would need some medical supervision. So don't be doing this without talking with your doctor. On the other hand, if your doctor tells you that going without food for 24 hours will somehow be detrimental to you, I suggest that you consider finding another physician, because this is, as I said, only been in practice for a few thousand years. And there is a way to do this as a type 2 diabetic that will make you need less insulin or less medicine. And I've used it repeatedly to get people completely off of their diabetes medicine. But the big danger, of course, is that you're going to get your sugar to go too low. So before you do this, I would just talk with your physician about how to manage your medicines during this 24 hours. And usually I have people either stop them completely or cut everything in half during the 24-hour period. Another problem that may arise that needs to be talked about is some people will have constipation or diarrhea at some point during this 3-day fat burn. There are several things to do to deal with this. There are cleansing type kits you can buy at the health food store. They usually involve a combination of a stimulant, a bowel stimulant, a fiber, and some sort of blue-green algae or some sort of superfood supplement. My preference is that you do use something, and some people have even advocated enemas. Or Paul Bragg was not a big fan of really doing much of anything, just letting the body handle whatever. But I think it can be beneficial to have some cleansing of the bowel during this diet, so that you have a more profound effect. And I'll leave it at that. You'll find that there's some subtle changes with your body that really can't be described. And if I start to describe them, it's going to sound hokey. You just have to go experience them. As a good, safe, gentle way to keep the bowels going, I would get a good source of Metamucil and have it a couple times during the good source of, excuse me, psyllium husk, spelled with a P, but that is the main ingredient in Metamucil. I like a brand called Konsyl, K-O-N-S-Y-L. There are other brands at your health food store or your local pharmacy, but some sort of natural fiber. Also, it's all right to have some sort of bulking agent, an osmotic agent, so magnesium, like Milk of Magnesia or Haley's MO, some sort of magnesium supplement. Also brings more water into the bowel, makes the bowel looser so that you don't have constipation. That's the thing that can happen. The combination of no food with mild dehydration can cause some constipation on that first day. So having those things during the day can help avoid that problem and actually lead to some other beneficial effects. And if you're a mine, you can go have, it's also a good day to have a colonic. If you have someone who does that sort of therapy close to you and they're well trained, you can do a colonic or do your own little enema there at the house. But something that sort of cleans things out at the same time that you're fasting, that's probably the only place where I may have not complete agreement with the guru, Paul Bragg, and that there may be some benefit to doing that during that first day. I think that's enough for day one, so we'll get into day two on the next track. Remember, there's a lot on my website at Temple Repair, as your body being a temple, templerepair.com, that can supplement this. Make sure you're on my mailing list, and I will send you up-to-date research that will supplement what you're doing here and greatly add to the not only your weight loss but to your health. And of course, there'll be ideas about how what other specific brands of the different things that I recommend, like the herbal teas and the fiber. As new things come out, then that will also be identified there on my website. So I'll see you on the next recording about day two.